morning, good morning, good morning. I am so glad to be with you all today, December the 1st. Hey, time is flying. We are about to say goodbye to 2021 and embarking on what? 2022. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the new year. I actually started planning for 2022 back in October. I love to get a calendar, and so, I'm planning some good stuff for you all coming in the garden. And, hey, one of those things that's going to be coming to you, it will be in March. It will be the third issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. So excited about that. Today is a deadline for everybody to get all their good stuff into the designer, so I'm excited about that. Hey, if you're wondering what I'm talking about, go to payhip.com/seasonempowerment and check out our issue one and issue two. It is Significant in Athletics and Sports. It's Black women in leadership roles in sports and in athletic administration. So excited about that. And because I'm so excited, I am bringing back Meet the Contributors every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live. And joining me tonight at 6 p.m. is Natasha Wilson. She is VP for Student Life and Athletics at Central Methodist. So it will be inside the Facebook group. You'll see our faces, okay? And so I'm excited about that. My business coach says I need to do more live streaming. So I am listening to my coach and going to do that. But I really want you all to feel connected to the people who have written in the magazine. And I'm excited about that because Natasha is my longtime mentee. So, hey, you get a chance to see us giggle, giggle, happy, happy. And that's what I love to do, bring people together so we can all what? Grow together, grow together. So, again, join us tonight inside the Chat in the Garden Facebook group at 6 p.m. Meet Natasha Wilson. I am thinking, I've just been approved to do live streaming on LinkedIn. And I really want to do it, but I want to spread myself too thin. So I think I may do something around books, because you know I love books. So I'm thinking about doing a book of the month kind of thing. So I won't stretch myself thin. And something around reads or seeds or seeds or reads. Because I'm telling you, I am reading the book. Well, okay, let's be honest. I'm cheating. I'm doing an audio book of the former CEO of PepsiCo. And let me just give you a tip if you're in leadership. You get great ideas when you cross-train. Now, I said cross-train because I'm hoping you all can get that. It's like a football player or a basketball player or a volleyball player, and you work out, especially track and field. When you work out in the water, you do something else, but it's training you to be better in something else. And so that's what I've always done, especially reading something different. I always come with creative ideas for whatever I'm working on. And, I do executive coaching, and I'm working with an athletic director, and I have her reading this book or doing an audio book. And one of the things I shared with her was how when the, I can't remember her name right now, but the former CEO of PepsiCo was a female. And, it was a big deal. And plus, she is Indian descent from India. And she does say that she is a woman of color. So, we have a connection there. But also what I respect about her is that, different from Coca-Cola, PepsiCo had food products. And this is the time of Michelle Obama's, you know, healthy eating campaign as well. She went ahead and had her engineers to find different ways to cut the salt and the sugar on their products. I mean, just as small as using a cutting the crystals or something like that. But, you know, the thing is, I just have been in this business for 30 years, and we rarely will do what we think may attack our bottom line versus doing the right thing. And it takes courage to do that. Number one, it takes you moving up the ladder and having the leverage, the influence to change a course, number one. But number two, it takes courage to speak to stakeholders that this is how we need to approach this. It's called forward thinking. It's called growth mindset. And in this day of continuous change, that's the workshop I've been doing on college campuses now, our playing field is expanding. And it includes things that have nothing to do with how you were trained as a coach, as an administrator. It includes considering the mental health of your players and your staff. It includes changing how your policy procedures to include your student-athletes making money. So it may need to have more student-athlete development, showing them how to brand themselves. It may mean having more education on how to protect themselves from those predators who say, I got you. You know, I can go get you this, this, and this. Just sign on this dotted line. You may have only begun to do that like their senior year. You need to start doing that when you're an incoming student athlete. So it's going to have to change how you engage with your student athletes. And lastly, social justice. Every day our kids are on social media, and every day they see some type of social injustice. So today, to just say play and be silent, be grateful for where you are, get your education, and then you can go and disrupt. Those days are over. It's going to take courage as a leader to do something different. It's already courage to be a female in this business and have football and to move the agendas in the way that is good for all and not just good for your bottom line. Because I promise you, when you do what's good for all, your bottom line will come. And let me be clear, too. If you do for the bottom line and not do for all, you're going to want to leave the profession because you're not going to be able to look yourself in the mirror. Peace of mind is something you can't put a price to. Thanks. The name of the book is, My Life in Full, Work, Family, and Our Future. Ingra Noya, the former president of PepsiCo. So I think I will come up with something. I think I can come up with 12 book club kind of ideas for doing my live streams on LinkedIn. They say if I have to be continuous for me to keep my access. So I'm thinking on that. You know, shoot me a note with your thoughts on that. That will think that would be a worthwhile thing. I want to give a shout out to one of my longtime mentees, Dr. Linda Bell. She spoke to my class yesterday, matter of fact. And I'm so proud of her. I've known her since she's been 17, which is like 30-some years ago. So don't tell her her age, but hey. But she just happened to be on a Division II football regional rack. Well, the R is already in the RAC. The RAC committee, which is regional committee that helps rank the teams. And she was at the table, you all, and over to put two HBCUs. I want to say four were ranked throughout the season, but we got two in postseason play. And hats off to Bowie State. Yes, they made it past. They're in the quarterfinals this weekend. But the interesting thing was Linda Bell sharing with my class. My class is Collegiate Athletic Administration. So she was sharing how the regional ranking works. I was just really proud of her thought process and how she shared, how she fought for and to change thinking. Because, you know, one of the reasons why they started having regional rankings because people said, well, traditionally so-and-so and traditionally. And, you know, you really, you would think you could just look at the numbers, but that's not it, too. You also have to look at the quality of those wins as well and how do you justify quality. And so it was just really nice to see, again, Chat in the Garden, her growth, and then her sharing with others. And I could see the faces of the students light up. Yeah. Like, oh, if she can do that, I think like that. Oh, that sounds a great way to go. And so hats off to her, number one, for taking the time to talk to my class and for her to go ahead and put her name in the hat and says, I want to be at the table to correct some things that I know that are just not right because our teams need to be in there and not afraid to use her voice. Yes. So if I had an award today for There You Go Girl, that would be to her. No doubt. And speaking of lighting up the faces of our students, this is one reason why I created the Significance in Athletics and Sports, to put it in their hands. So if you would like to purchase the magazine for your student athletes, your sports management majors, if you want to help me put it in your bookstore, hey, it's championship season. It would be great gift, you know, in your championship bags or whatever. Please reach out to me. So this is how we change the future. We have to show them who they can be. Just email me at MoniqueAJSmith@CaesarEmpowerment.info. With love to put this in the hands of the next generation. Hey, I'm always trying to tell you the things about the Bitcoin thing. I think I told you last time we were live that a stadium is about to change their name. I think it's LA Stadium, about to change their name to Bitcoin. So let me just do a little test. If you have no idea what Bitcoins are, you need to call my girl, Jolene Robinson. Is stepping to win. We got to step up, y'all. We got to step up. We've got to be able to see around the curve. Yeah, see around the curve. And you can't avoid it. They're coming. Bitcoins are coming. Financial way of doing money is coming. When I realized it was coming, when everybody was asking me, what's your Cash App? Now, I already hate PayPal because I'm a business. But when your people say, oh, I can give you your birthday gift or your, if you got Cash App, I was like, ooh. So it's here. So, but I need you to understand that it can become a financial gain for you. You know, many of you have 401ks, you belong to TI Craft, because you in higher ed. And that's wonderful. Even in TI Craft, you have what we call diversifying within that. So you also need to diversify your investments in different vehicles. And one of them may be this electronic piece. So check with Jolene Robinson. She has educational sessions to get you up to speed. Text her at 980-298-2231 or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. Stepping2win.com. And here's the thing. You know, if you're on LinkedIn, you usually have people trying to hit you up. Also on Instagram. Yes, on Instagram, you got folks trying to hit you up for them to show you Bitcoin or electronic pieces. But this is somebody I trust. This is somebody from our community. She's a former basketball coach, and now she's athletic administrator. And look, she's a conservative person. You don't see her just going out doing any and everything. And so that's why I say she's one to trust. I wouldn't bring you somebody just because they bought advertisement. I'd be like, no, just keep your money. I'm real particular on my group and my listeners. I'm real protective. So, and here's the thing I want you to really, when people say you need to invest in something and you say, oh, I don't have any money to invest, this is how you figure out how to do that, because I'm going to give you my own tidbit. The way to save is to save automatically, meaning you don't see that you're saving. It comes out altogether. I'm taking another step. It comes out all together, and then where it goes, it needs to be making some money while it's doing it. And so, for instance, I have Acorn. And that rounds off every time I spend time on my ATM. I could take the money that I have saved from Acorns, from pennies now, and go and invest it in some kind of Bitcoin if I wanted to. Or you can use it to go Christmas shopping. But guess what? After you spend it, you don't have it. So check out Jolene, 980-298-2231, or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. And my longtime podcast sponsor, Tawana Smith, again, has the book Surviving the Lights, a professional athlete's playbook to avoiding the curse. I highly endorse this book for times such as this, because I just finished saying earlier that where you would wait to have the talk with your student athletes who may be growing professional, you need to have that talk a little sooner, because if your students have an opportunity to engage in name, image, and likeness, they need to have a lawyer to look over that stuff. But who do they select as a lawyer? This book helps them make that decision. Who's on their team? What credentials should people have? And we're talking about their money much sooner than we thought, because their talent hasn't really been fully developed. But their influence has already been known. So it's like a kid, you know. You got the notoriety, but you don't have the maturity to deal with it yet. And so we're here. We're already here. And this book will help you start the conversation. What I really like about it, it actually talks about how to let your family down gently to say, I know you got my bad uncle so-and-so, but I need to use so-and-so. Yes. And it's a great read. It's also an audiobook, and it's also on electronic. It's on Amazon. So go to Amazon, look up Surviving the Lights, a professional athlete's playbook to avoid the curse, by Tawana Smith. And Tawana is T-Y-W-A-N-N-A Smith. And no, we're not related, but I really, really endorse this book. And My second endorsement for that is this. The NFL bought the book for all of the attendees, for all of the participants in the Celebration Bowl in 2019. Now, if that's not an endorsement, I don't know what is. I did send the book to a contact at NFL, and she loved it so much that she purchased the book for the two football teams that participated in Celebration Bowl, and she had Tawana Smith to speak there. So I was excited because it became a return investment for Tawana to be connected with the Chattanooga Garden, and with my media partners, I do try to assist them with speaking engagements. That was fabulous. So you need to become fabulous and go get this book too, okay? Again, Surviving the Life of a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse. Well, today, when I tell you, this is the luck of the draw, because I have had an opportunity to have the guest speaker today also speak to my membership program last month. And this is rare. I get a chance to talk to the same person again. And she will be in the third issue of Significance. I'm really excited. I'm really, really excited about bringing her knowledge. And I just enjoyed it. So you're going to hear about all that joy when you meet Tamika Newman, owner of Grit and Grind Athletics and the author of the book Grateful and Greedy. Welcome to the garden, Tamika.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on.
Yes. Did you hear your cheers?
Yes, I did. I love that.
Girl, I do too. I really do too. So we've got lots to cover and you got lots to share. So don't give me the book synopsis. Just give me from college to now. Give me your career path.
Awesome. Well, went to college at Prairie View A&M. I was there on a basketball and volleyball scholarship. I did 2 years of basketball, did the entire four of volleyball. Ended up having a very good career, as good as you can get at a small college. Finished a team SWAC champion in volleyball, a SWAC player of the year, and then several individual superlatives. You know, the most athletic girl my senior year for Prairie View, was a part of tons of organizations, the SAC, Student Athletic Advisory, the NAACP, and then some other organizations. I actually graduated in 2008, so in the middle of the recession, my desired career path was to go into sports radio and TV. Got a radio internship in Houston, had a not so great experience, a little discouraged, and decided to go to graduate school. I followed our then athletic director of Prairie View, Charles McClellan, who's now the commissioner of the SWAC. He left Prairie View and went to Texas Southern to be the athletic director, and kind of talked to him about not really knowing what I wanted to do. And he said, hey, come over and you can work for me as a graduate assistant. So he brought me over there and I began pursuing my MBA. And a friend's dad from my old neighborhood called me to come coach volleyball at a charter school. And so I started coaching volleyball when I had time, and just kind of decided that when I'm done with grad school, I'm going to go into education and coach. I enjoyed it so much. Really was excited about the impact that I could make. And so graduated and went right into being a teacher and a coach. I was already coaching travel ball. For 2 or 3 years, I had already been coaching travel ball. So started in public school as a junior varsity coach. And by now I had about 4 years of coaching experience and decided that I wanted to be a head coach. Just very ambitious and reasonably optimistic at times. I set out and start interviewing for head coaching jobs, and very quickly it was brought to my attention that there weren't very many minorities in coaching volleyball, especially in greater Houston. In the inner city areas, there absolutely were, but not in the suburbs. So went on my first three interviews, and the athletic directors called me back and offered me to be on the basketball track staff. Mm. And so by the third, go ahead.
Oh, no, no, I was just saying,
Yeah, by the third interview, I realized that my HBCU education for those 6.5 years had really, I was very naive. I had not paid attention. I was just blinded kind of by my own ambition. But my HBCU education told me that after those three rejections, keep going. So by interview number 7, I got a job, became a head coach at it was a new school out right outside of Houston in a decently affluent area. One very quickly walked into a very talented team that just didn't know how to win. So the new energy kind of really helped them out, and they really bought in. It was a big senior class. And so the next year we came back not as talented, and I really needed to develop some talent, develop myself. And did decent, but started learning some things about myself. The very first thing that happened was those racial microaggressions that said, hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. You're not smart enough. Black women don't coach high-level volleyball. Some of that started to creep back in and was extremely hurtful. I wasn't quite sure who to talk to about it, because the only other coaches of color were coaching sports that athletes of color played. Wasn't great at advocating for myself. There was no support offered from my administration. And so the next 3 years went on very similar to that. Lots of winning. Did a great job producing. I was big on professional development. I had come as an athlete. I had been coached by really great coaches. I actually, Cynthia Cooper, Basketball Hall of Famer, played for the Houston Comets. The Houston Comets coach, Van Chancellor, was from Mississippi. He coached high school, then Ole Miss, then coached the Comets. His high school player was my high school coach. Then I went on to coach with Coach Van Chancellor's son, and then I went on to play for Cynthia Cooper. So I had been exposed to great coaches, same with my high school coach that eventually took our program to the playoffs for the first time in 13 years. Her mother was my middle school coach. So I had a lot of continuity in terms of philosophy and culture in my experience as an athlete because of the great coaches that I played for. And so I picked up on some of that. And so very successful wins and losses, but every year the culture of the team suffered. I always felt like at the end of the season it was a huge weight off my back. Always felt extremely, lots of anxiety. And by 5 years I was burnt out and overwhelmed. So I left that school and I went to another school. And that school, the entire athletic culture was it was a losing culture. The coaches and kids shared the same attitude. Sparked a little bit of a flame there, but I did not see a future there. And then I went on to the very last school that I coached high school at and experienced what I did at that first head coaching position times 10, and decided that it had been about 10 years of coaching that I was burnt out. I was going to pursue something else. So I started Green Grind Athletics. Should I stop there?
Oh, no, keep going.
Started Green Grind Athletics, and Green Grind Athletics offers several services. The first thing I wanted to do was offer affordable teen volleyball camps in low-resource areas. Me coaching at the affluent areas, I would notice the low level of coaching and instruction, just the lack of quality. There was really no continuity at some of the schools, no resources for the coaches. So I always felt terrible because those schools represented where I came from. So my first order of business was to get quality instruction there in the summer at an affordable rate. And so I did that. It was very successful. It's still going. It's very successful. One of my goals was to employ college athletes in the greater Houston area, like Prairie View, Texas Southern, U of H, those girls to work that. So that's growing. It's awesome. I love it. Very popular. And then COVID hit, and I got an opportunity to be still, which coaches had not been able to do prior to COVID. And I wrote my book, which I'll talk about later. But I also really reflected on the fact that it hadn't been professional development that I was lacking and the reason that I burnt out. It was lack of support, no doubt. But there was this self-awareness and this personal development thing that I could have done better had I known better. And now the mother of a five-year-old who started sports, I realized that if the script isn't changed for the female minority coach, there will be no female minority coaches left by the time my daughter pursues sports competitively. And so I started gearing some services to the female minority coach. So I coach female minority coaches from all levels in all sports. And, so I coach through a coaching program, coach one-on-one, and then I consult with athletic departments to make sure and align the coaches with the department's promise, their mission, their values, which, again, being in coaching, I kind of saw that what we had on the website wasn't necessarily happening down at the ground level. And so connecting those two things became very important to me, and I wanted to go back and help. All right, hello. Where are we?
Okay, so I do want to go back just a slight bit. Because you did go on the college level, so share your coaching on the college level for just a second.
Yeah. So when I got out of high school, I started the business but got a great opportunity to come back and assist at Prairie View. My former teammate from when I was there from the championship team and member of the Hall of Fame with myself and our teammates, she called me back to come and help out. It was a very natural transition. One of the more successful players in the program had just graduated. She was my high school kid. She had been a SWAG Defensive Player of the Year 2 years in a row, as well as the top engineer student in the school. And then one of my current high school players was going into the program. So it was a natural transition. I took the job, so I was the assistant there for 2 years. When I joined the program had finished seventh place the year before. It hadn't experienced any success really since our championship team back in 2006. And so it was kind of a project. So we put our heads together and decided that we wanted to make some changes in the culture, that we wanted to be intentional about teaching. So we kind of tore everything down and built it back up, which I was able to assist with a lot because my background was in teaching. And that was a great experience in terms of personal development and professional development because now I was sitting in the second seat. And so I started to see things like your intent is not always how people experience you. I could see the gap in between what you're saying, what you're doing, and what you want to happen, and, you know, what kids are getting out of that. And so I was able to give some great feedback to my friend and coach, and she was able to make some changes. I was also able to focus in on giving kids mental skills They were really lacking those resiliency skills, again, self-awareness, same with coaches and kids. That self-awareness piece is huge. Just having a growth mindset, understanding how to self-advocate. So I really just looked and I said, okay, where are the gaps? Because the talent is here. I walked in the door. We were loaded with talent. I said, okay, there's got to be, there's something missing. And so made that my mission and made myself useful and started closing those gaps. And that very year we made it to the championship game, finished second overall, helped produce tons of all-conference performers. We came back the next year, which was in a COVID year, and had that short spring season. Finished over 500 in conference play, didn't play much of a preseason. Ultimately, I decided that my personal business was tugging at me to expand that, to scale that. And then the travel. I wasn't quite sure that when my daughter started in kindergarten that the travel was a great idea. But it was an amazing experience. Obviously, I'm an alumni, very involved alumni, so still connected. But decided July 5th, 2021, so this summer, to pursue Grit and Grind Athletics and my writing and speaking career full time. So that gets us to today.
Wow. Wow. Well, I want to first give a shout out to Prairie View. Aren't they in the SWAT Championship for football?
Yes, ma'am, this weekend.
Yeah. I thought about you when I saw that. I was like, oh, look at that. And so just want to give a shout out to them. But we're going to take really, really a short commercial break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your book.
All right.
Hey, it's Dr. Jasmine George Williams, also known as Dr. G. I'm so excited to share the release of my book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation, available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle format. To learn more about my research and activism, please visit www.drjasmine.com. That's www.drjasmine. Thank you for your support. All power to the people.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together. Thank you.
I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chattanooga Garden where Smithians blooms in athletics and sports. So, Tamika, before I get the book, I got a couple of questions for you. What would you tell your 18-year-old version of yourself, and what was the hardest decisions you had to make thus far in your career so far?
What would I tell the 18-year-old version of myself about the hardest decision?
No, it's just two different questions. What would you tell?
Oh.
What would you tell your, yeah, just about from a career path perspective?
Bet on yourself, because I went all in on the dream of just being the status quo and checking boxes. So I went all in on that. I bet on that. I put all my money in on you check these boxes, you have a great purpose-driven life. And so I would tell my 18-year-old self, go all in on yourself.
So what boxes did you try to check?
Be a good church girl, go to college. You know, earn a scholarship when you're done with college. You know, go to college and get it done as fast as you can, and then go to college again, get 2 degrees because that looks great. And then go make a decent living, which I did as a teacher. I mean, I could have stretched myself. The idea of working my way up through sports media and hearing that you're going to be broke and all of that was very discouraging for me, because I went to college so I wouldn't be broke, because I was raised, you know, in low-income environment. And so checking that box and then working really, 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 really hard where you're at. So check that box. Those are some of the boxes. I said, you check these and it's, you're on easy street. You know, this is the life. This is the dream. And so, you know, that over-promised and under-delivered, I would say.
So when you say that you bet on yourself, what does that actually look like different from those boxes that you check?
Really getting in touch with what my passions are, what I would love to do, and not attaching a salary to it, you know, not attaching a monetary value to it. Investing in my education, and not what you're told is traditional professional development and personal development, but really staying curious and doing my own work and really, you know, just dissecting something. Is this really going to help me for what I'm trying to do? Or does this just look good to participate in these professional and personal development activities? So,
So now let's talk about grateful and greedy, challenging and redefining what it means to win in life.
Yes, ma'am. That is my first book. So the book took me about 120 days to write. I accepted a challenge of writing a book in 90 days. And the analytical part of me said how. You know, I was really concerned with the how. And that number is just like, no, it can't be done in that many days, nothing quality. But I just had this nudge that just worry about the process, and it can happen. So it happened for me in 120 days, and then obviously editing and some other things took a little bit longer, but my part was done in 120 days. So I shocked myself. So, again, COVID gave me a time to sit down. So the burnout had happened from high school sports. I was done with my first year of Prairie View, and that was a whirlwind because I couldn't have expected that, although I should have, I couldn't have expected that we would have such a magical year. Black Lives Matter, we were at the height of that, and all the racial injustices were being talked about And here I was sitting with this kind of this trauma from my last coaching experience, which involved some very overt racism. And it seemed very timely to come out and talk about how I had wound up in a position to even tolerate some of the things I had tolerated up to that point. So I needed to talk about, where did I get the idea of what it meant to be successful? Where did that start forming at? And where and when did that idea start forming in my head? And how had it guided my decisions up to that point? Mm-hmm. And then, not to get sappy, there was another thing I needed to confront. So I started the book in March 2020, but December 18, 2019, my grandmother, who raised me, she passed. She had a heart attack in her sleep. And I needed to kind of reconcile my thoughts about that. So came across an Instagram post, and it said, everybody has a book in them. And I was like, very struck by that. And I couldn't get it out of my head. So I started following the guy who wrote it. And he was a book coach, and he had a couple books out, and then he did book coaching, and he had a couple books out. And decided to join the program. And so the book, Grateful and Greedy, Challenging and Redefining What It Means to Win in Life, I talk about the lens of gratitude that I was raised to see life through. And that had served me well, but I was always a go-against-the-grain kind of person, not in an aggressive way, but there were certain things that were my activism or protest, while I was a kid. And achievement was one. You know, it wasn't lost on me even as a kid. I was very intuitive. I knew I was in a low-resource situation. I had both parents deal with drug addiction. There was no achievement in my family. I was like, okay, you know, and I was reading long books I shouldn't have been reading at like 8. So I was reading, and I knew the statistics. I knew the outcomes of people whose life looked like mine. I said, okay, so I'm gonna be a high achiever. That's my activism. That's my protest. I'm going to do it. Being grateful kept me humble as a kid, obviously kept me hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something that books also did for me, Buzz, although it showed me the black and white statistics of what I couldn't be, it also showed me what I could be, and that made me greedy. And my definition of greedy is just wanting more, being grateful for what you have, but wanting more. And that was me, and I couldn't explain that when I was a kid. And my grandmother would be kind of bragging at church or with the family about, oh, Tamika earned this and that, and then she earned this. And then, and you'd get the idea that people were sick of you achieving, and like, what else are you doing? And what other club are you a part of? And you got straight A's again? And I could sense that, yeah, because there was no achievement in my family. And it looked like I was being greedy. It's like, oh, you don't have to do that well. You don't have to pursue that, too.
You're doing too much.
Correct. I could pick up on that. And it didn't stop me, although it was disappointing, it didn't stop me. But 10 years of coaching and teaching, which is a comfortable lifestyle here in Texas, I'm told, based on some other states, it's very competitive. It's a comfortable lifestyle. It's very comfortable. It's admirable. Mm-hmm. But I thought about, you know, if this, is I'm so unhappy with this, you know, what is keeping me here? And I think I had leaned more on, you should be grateful. This is a long way from the neighborhood. What are you complaining about? And it wasn't until I met a teacher who has similar background to mine in terms of growing up in the church, Sunday school student, all of that. And she would say, grateful or greedy? She would say that when someone would start complaining about something throughout the day, even herself. She would say in third person, grateful or greedy, Melanie, you can't be both. And I remember nodding like, I love that. That sounds like my childhood. That sounds like my upbringing. And then one day it dawned on me on my drive to work that while I think it's amazing to be grateful, I was like, why does it have to be or? And why can't you be both? And then I realized that was how I had gotten in the predicament I was in. And looking back, I said, that's not how – I wouldn't even be here if I had said that. Because here's the deal. I kept being the first black coach at every school I was at. Sometimes, most – every time the first black volleyball coach, the last school, I was the first black female coach at a 6A high school here in Houston. That's 3,000 kids. In 2019, the first black female. That was insane, right? And so I said, okay. And that had been a trend for my life that I would be the first. I was the first in a lot of things. It just kept being a trend. And so I said, the only way I even got here is because I didn't settle for where people said I should be. The only reason I didn't wind up a basketball or a track coach, which I had, I was a great athlete in both of those things and loved both of them. I'm actually love basketball more than any sport, is because they called me back at the first three interviews and said, hey, we liked you. You're an impressive young lady. If I had stayed at just being grateful for that, here we go, some older white guy says I'm impressive at 23. But no, I said, oh, no, I want more. You're saying I can't do this? I'm not supposed to? And so it was just in those 10 years I had gotten away from being greedy. So the book was about, hey, I'm hitting a hard reset, and, you know, I'm redefining what it means to win in life, and I'm going back to being grateful and greedy. And I'm going to challenge, you know, I'm challenging the thought that you can only be one or the other. So I don't know how great I did communicating that in the book, but that was my intent.
Well, I share with you that I had gone to a conference, and the conference ended that night, that Saturday, and shoot, I told the people, give me my late checkout at 2, and I stayed in the bed all morning, and I read that whole book. I loved it. I really, really loved, because volleyball is my favorite sport, I really love how you gave me that feel of being there. And I was rooting for your team. I mean, I was just like, when you went back to Prairie View and you did all that, I had no idea that you were player of the year when you were in school. But then to see you go back to do that, I was excited. And then my issue is this. Are you in your 40s, right? The 30s?
I'm 36. 36.
Okay, so you're in your 30s. Okay, so of all the people that help pour into your life, if they would write books too, see, that's my issue. You know, I'm looking at my bookshelf now, and there is not enough of us writing the story. Like, I was just like, oh, my God, a black, because I'm on the bandwagon with you, because when I was associate commissioner for the CIAA, volleyball was my thing, and I was determined to elevate that. We had our own volleyball championship logo, and I was determined to get more black females as coaches. Because we had a lot of men, and I think I had very few, like maybe two or three. And I'm like, there's got to be more of these black females out here. And then I wanted to show, I wasn't really pushing that piece, but, you know, the saying volleyball, I was trying to say, okay, if you play volleyball indoors, you can go to grad school somewhere, and saying volleyball. I just wanted to show them there was a next afterwards. And Kathy DeBoer of ABCA, we're good friends. And so she sent somebody down to speak at our volleyball championship as a keynote of our banquet. It's just a show, because, you know, if you think that, okay, well, I'm not going to put effort in this. I was just trying to show you can go to grad school for this, and you can take this volleyball, let people do basketball. And I was excited when I saw Texas with those black girls playing volleyball. I was like, see, I started having clinics. So when I read your book, I was like, oh, my God, there is a sister girl out here who loves volleyball just like me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not talked about. There's probably not very many women outside of those that probably make the Olympics teams. You know, usually the Olympians mm-hmm. have a book out. But they probably did not. I'm self-published, so I could speak very candidly about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the downside to being traditionally, you know, going through a traditional publishing house. I hadn't read much that was as transparent about the experience of volleyball, from playing it up to being a coach ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was proud that I was able to do that. And a lot of people have had the same reaction to yours. They just, there's some people, especially depending on what part of the country, they just like, I don't know any black girls that play volleyball. Then I don't know any that coached it. It's a lot of new things. But going back to you, you talked about explaining the game. And I was excited because I got to do some of my, you know, I was a student assistant in sports information. So I was responsible for writing the next day the game write-up for basketball mm-hmm. and volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
That was another thing I was a part of. I loved it. I loved being in charge of communicating how exciting the game was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was so I got a chance to do that. And some of my teammates were so shocked that I can remember the ebbs and flows of the game, and
mm-hmm.
they were like, I didn't even remember that. So they enjoyed
that
play-by-play as well.
Wow. Well, I hate to – I think my engineer is telling me I'm coming down to the end. Tell everybody how they can get the book.
Awesome. So the book, it can be found at newman.com. That's TAMIKANEWMAN.com. You can get your autographed copy there as well. And also for coaches, you have an opportunity to enjoy one of my free trainings, and you can text #toolkit to 510-953-5396, and your coupon code is free gift. So those are two resources I would love for your listeners to take advantage of and then provide me some feedback.
Well, I'm excited that you're going to be in the third issue of Significance. Really excited about promoting you with that as well. And then say thank you so much for being in Chat in the Garden with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
And as always, I like to give a shout out to our engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcast follow-up. Join a Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.